101 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Jill Robbins, Katie Weaver, Alice Bryant, and Brian Lynn. Later, Katie Weaver and Ashley will present the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first, here is Jill Robbins.
Latin America is to receive millions of U.S.-made COVID-19 vaccine injections in the coming weeks. The news comes as the United States is becoming the top exporter of vaccines against the new coronavirus. Reuters news agency spoke with two people who know about the issue. However, Reuters did not identify the individuals. The U.S. is planning to give 80 million vaccines to other countries. One of the Reuters sources said the United States is considering giving high importance to providing vaccines to North and South America. The second source said the drug company Pfizer has begun exporting millions of its U.S.-made shots, largely to countries in Central and South America. Many Latin American countries need COVID-19 vaccines as they fight rising infections. Brazil has been one of the countries hardest hit by the pandemic. Brazilian officials have reported more than 16 million cases and 449,000 deaths. The second source said Pfizer is producing 10 million shots in the U.S. each week for export. The U.S. is now making more vaccines than are needed for use in the country. The source said Pfizer is making shipments from its Kalamazoo, Michigan factory to Canada, Mexico, and nearly 10 other Latin American countries. Brazil, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Peru, and Uruguay are other countries that have recently received Pfizer's U.S.-made vaccines. The administration of President Joe Biden is still considering how to direct the vaccines it promised to other countries. Biden has not yet decided on a plan. The first source said the administration is considering giving vaccines to people in North and South America first because it is in America's interest. Another source said the vaccine would be shared considering geography, so changes can be made to the vaccines if needed. The United States is competing with China and Russia. Those countries have been carrying out so-called vaccine diplomacy. That means they are trying to gain influence by providing other countries with vaccines. Mitt Romney is a Republican Party senator. Last week, he said the U.S. needs to speed up vaccine sharing to better compete with world rivals. Gail Smith leads COVID-19 efforts at the U.S. State Department. She said last week that the U.S. will donate a large number of vaccines through the COVAX program. This program is supported by the World Health Organization and gives vaccines mainly to poorer countries. The second source said Pfizer is sending its U.S.-made vaccines to Latin America for two reasons. It is close to their manufacturing centers, and it meets their goal of getting shots to poorer countries. Reuters reported earlier that a deal with the U.S. government barred Pfizer from exporting vaccines until after March 31st. Pfizer is continuing to hold talks with India, where its shots are not yet approved. The second person said the timeline for a possible agreement is not clear. The U.S. is becoming a top supplier of COVID-19 shots to the world as the vaccination effort in the United States nears its goal. U.S. government information shows that more than 60% of U.S. adults received at least one COVID-19 vaccination injection. At the same time, countries like India and Brazil are struggling to get the vaccines they need to control their severe outbreaks. Reuters information shows that Brazil has vaccinated about 13% of its population. It is currently recording an average of about 65,000 new cases each day. Last week, Biden said the U.S. will give out 20 million shots that had been meant for U.S. persons by the end of June. The medicines will include vaccines made by Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. The Biden administration is also planning to give other countries around 60 million U.S.-made injections of AstraZeneca's vaccine. It is not yet approved for use in the U.S. I'm Jill Robbins.
Oatly is the world's largest maker of oat milk, a vegetable-based drink made from oats. The company is based in Malmö, Sweden. Now it is getting a lot of attention from investors. Last Thursday, Oatly raised $1.4 billion on the Nasdaq Stock Exchange, when the company sold shares to the public for the first time. Oatly first priced its shares at $17 each. The company was then valued at nearly $10 billion. When shares began trading Thursday, the price of shares jumped 24% to $21 each. The stock sale is the latest example of the fast rise of oat milk. The food is winning buyers and gaining the interest of famous investors like Oprah Winfrey. People like the oat milk message that says it is healthier and better for the environment than cow's milk. Oat milk was once a product meant for a small number of people who got bad reactions to drinking cow's milk. Oatly's products can now be found at major American stores like Starbucks and Target. It is also sold online by Alibaba in China. The company thinks there is more growth ahead. Market researcher Euromonitor found worldwide sales of such plant-based products reached $18 billion in 2020. That represents 3% of the $600 billion market for milk-based or dairy foods. Oatly said more people are trying its oat-based drinks, yogurt, and ice cream. In the last 3 months, between 35% and 40% of adults in the United States, the United Kingdom, Germany, China, and Sweden bought a plant-based milk product. Nielsen is an American marketing research company. It says the sale of oat milk jumped 131% during the last year. Nielsen also said U.S. sales for plant-based dairy products grew 15% during the 12-month period that ended on May 1st. Oat milk is the second most popular plant-based dairy product behind almond milk. Other companies are watching Oatly's growth closely. Greek yogurt maker Chobani began selling oat-based yogurt, milk, and other products last year. Oatly's chief, Tony Peterson, said he is sure oat milk will be popular for a long time. Kara Rash is a researcher with Packaged Facts. She said many buyers also see oat milk as a healthier choice than cow's milk. Cow's milk and oat milk have different nutritional qualities. Oat milk requires less land and energy to produce than cow's milk, and its production releases less gas linked to climate change than dairy milk. An Oxford University study from 2018 found oat milk production has fewer bad effects on the environment than other plant-based milk products. For example, California almond milk production requires a lot of water because the almond trees grow in dry areas of California. Speaking of the good effects of his products, Oatleys Peterson said, "We're here to make the world better. I know it sounds stupid, but it's true." I'm Katie Weaver.
In many parts of the world, attending school can be a daily struggle for children, especially girls. A long list of barriers prevents their attendance. Parents may not be able to pay school fees or buy books or other supplies. Ideas about gender can also play a part in the problem. Some families that need help at home expect girls to perform such work. And with schools far away in many communities, there is also a safety issue for girls. Before the COVID-19 health crisis, it is estimated that around 132 million girls were out of school worldwide. That number comes from the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. After the coronavirus spread, with schools in many nations closed, millions more girls were missing their studies at home. They are taking on additional household duties and caring for young and sick family members. In addition, research suggests an increase in unwanted marriages and violence against girls, especially at home, during the pandemic. Christina Kwok is a girls' education expert with the Brookings Institution, a research organization in Washington, D.C. She told VOA that the worldwide economic crisis caused by COVID-19 has led to a girls' education crisis, or what she called a gender inequality crisis. For example, stay-at-home orders have reduced girls' ability to leave their homes. But Kwok said being at home has not made girls safer. There is a huge increase in gender-based violence, often sexual violence, she said.
COVID on its own, while it, you know, disrupted the lives of, you know, everyone around the world, it created so many more vulnerabilities for girls, especially girls and women, especially.
A report by the educational organization Room to Read talks about a 15-year-old girl named Varuni in Sri Lanka. She takes part in the girls' education program there. With schools closed, she was at home more and faced violence from her alcoholic father. Varuni told Room to Read that her father also does not respect her right to an education. The organization then asked local leaders to persuade the father to let Varuni live with another family member while schools were closed. Now she is learning again, the group wrote. The same report by Room to Read explained that 42% of the 24,000 girls they spoke to said their household had lost wages during the pandemic. And the financial effects of COVID-19 are a huge risk to a girl's education.
While schools have remained closed, many adolescent girls are not learning at home because of pressure from their parents to take on more home duties. That means far less or no time to study at home. In addition, the Overseas Development Institute reports that, especially in rural areas, most girls are not able to learn over the radio, television, or internet. Families lack devices and electricity and have no money to pay phone or internet costs. But even in places where access is a little better, often boys are given access before girls due to gender norms. A report from Plan International says the COVID-19 pandemic has also sharply increased acts of gender-based violence in the home. Around the world, 243 million women and girls between the ages of 15 to 49 have experienced sexual or physical violence from a romantic partner over the last 12 months. Many experts are calling the increase in such violence during the COVID-19 pandemic a shadow pandemic. Historically, economic crises lead to more child marriage as well as early and forced marriages, and the coronavirus crisis is no exception. In Indonesia, for example, the group Plan International found that 24,000 applications for child marriage were submitted between January and June 2020. That is a more than 250% increase in applications since 2012. In 2020, girls in Southern Asia were affected most by the risk of increased child marriage, followed by West and Central Africa, then Latin America and the Caribbean. During times of economic or environmental shock, families may choose harmful gender customs for survival, Kwok says. That can include giving a girl child away for marriage to receive a dowry or payment.
Is the hard decision that a family has to make, but if that means potentially more economic security for a daughter, that's one way to decrease some of that pressure and then also provide a little bit more resources for the household that's already suffering from a loss of livelihood or loss of income.
For girls, early marriage can lead to pregnancy or joining the workforce. That means they are even less likely to return to school. World Bank numbers show that several countries in Asia, Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East saw major increases in girls' enrollment in school in recent years. But these gains are now threatened by the COVID-19 pandemic. Economic suffering from poverty combined with harmful gender practices may lead to some girls never being able to return to school. Some studies predict that 11 million to 20 million girls will not return to schools when they reopen, as they have been forced to become adults too soon. Even for girls who do return, Kwok says, learning loss during the pandemic may discourage the girls from staying in school. And that is something not discussed enough, she notes. I'm Alice Bryant.
And I'm Brian Lynn.
The state of Minnesota is known as the land of 10,000 lakes. Our national park today protects four major ones. The National Park Service says water is the foundation of this wild and remote place. Welcome to Voyageurs National Park. You must have a strong desire to see Voyageurs to make the visit. It is not an easy place to get to. Much of the park is accessible only by boat. The Voyageurs, for whom the park was named, understood this well. Voyager is a French word meaning traveler.
In the 1700s, French Canadian fur traders started coming to the area seeking beaver fur and other animal coats. The product was in great demand in Europe. The fur traders traveled to and from the area for business. They took canoes to get around. The boat trips were often long and hard. The waters and wild animals created great dangers. Voyager life became legendary. The men were seen as brave adventurers, but they were also romantics. They became known for singing songs as they navigated the waterways. Of course, the Voyagers were not the first people in the area that is now Voyageurs National Park. People first arrived there about 10,000 years ago. They were mostly nomadic and did not settle permanently.
In the last 1,000 years, Native American tribes settled in the area, including the Cree, Mansoni, and Assiniboine. The Ojibwa were the residents of more modern times. They served as guides to the fur traders. They also provided canoes and other important items. Voyageurs National Park covers almost 88,500 hectares. About half of that surface is water. Creating the park was a long and difficult process. Minnesotan state lawmakers first proposed the idea in 1891. But it was 80 years before Congress established the park. President Richard Nixon signed the bill that finally established Voyageurs as a national park in 1971.
The park protects four major Minnesotan lakes: Rainy Lake, Cabotogama, Namekin, and Sand Point. Rainy is the biggest. It covers about 930 square kilometers. It is a popular fishing lake. Fishers may catch walleye, northern pike, and smallmouth bass. In the winter, Thick ice covers Rainy Lake. Visitors can walk and drive on it. Rainy Lake meets with Namekin and Cabotogama Lakes at Kettle Falls. A dam was built on the falls in the early 20th century. Along with it came the Kettle Falls Hotel. It housed traders, loggers, and visitors searching for gold in the area. The hotel fell into disuse in more modern times, but in 1987, the National Park Service made repairs and improvements to the building. It is the only indoor place to stay in the area.
Nature and art meet at the Ellsworth Rock Gardens in Voyageurs National Park. Park officials describe the gardens as the showplace of Lake Cabotogama. A carpenter and artist from Chicago named Jack Ellsworth built a summer home on the lake in the 1940s. He then designed, built, and cared for the rock gardens over 20 years. The artist also created garden sculptures from native stone. There were once about 200 rock sculptures. Ellsworth stopped caring for the gardens in his older age. When the National Park Service took control of the land, the gardens needed repair and restoration. Today, it is an interesting place to visit within the park.
Voyageurs National Park may be best seen at night. Officials there like to say that half of the park comes out after dark. Certainly, much of its magic does. The most spectacular light display on Earth is sometimes visible at Voyageurs. The Aurora Borealis, or Northern Lights, appear periodically in the night sky as streaks or clouds of light. The lights are most often white or soft green. However, they sometimes deepen into colors like yellow, red, blue, and even purple. The northern lights are not always immediately recognizable, but keep watching. If the light you see comes and goes, or intensifies over time, you may be witnessing the Aurora Borealis.
Along with the Northern Lights, Voyageurs is a great place to see meteors. These bursts of light cross the area's black skies mostly in August, during the Perseids meteor shower. Meteors, often called shooting stars, form when pieces of ice and dust cross into Earth's atmosphere and begin to burn brightly. The display of natural fireworks is a great way to finish the day at Voyageurs National Park. You can fall asleep under the stars and be sure that more extraordinary nature awaits you when day breaks in Voyageurs National Park. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.